as much to do. Remodeling, yes, tearing down and building up. The strongholds of Diabolus were torn down. New towers were built. The image of Diabolus torn down. The image of Shaddai set up. A new palace for Malord Understanding was built near Eye Gate, where he could read in the revelation of mysteries all the days of his life. Malord Will was commanded to take care of the walls and the gates and to apprehend all Diabolonians still lurking in the town and bring them to justice. Malord Will lost no time in doing this. The day was set and the jury picked. The court was buzzing with excitement. On trial were several Diabolonians who...
Mr. Lustings to the bar. Mr. Lustings to the bar. Mr. Lustings, hold up your hand. You are hereby indicted by the name of Lustings, an intruder upon the town of Mansoul, for that you have devilishly and traitorously taught that it is lawful and profitable to give way to every desire, that you have not nor ever will deny yourself anything as long as your name is Lustings. What do you say? Are you guilty of this indictment or not? My lord, I am used to pleasures and pastimes of greatness, and we are not concerned with your greatness. We are concerned with an indictment preferred against you. Are you guilty or not? Not guilty, my lord. I was ever of the opinion that the happiest life a man could live was to keep himself back from nothing that he desired. I have lived in the love of my notions all of my days, and I certainly don't. Mr. Unbelief to the bar, Mr. Unbelief to the bar. Mr. Unbelief, you are here indicted for that you have wickedly resisted the captains of the great King Shaddai. What do you say to this indictment? Are you guilty or not?
I do not know Shaddai. I do not, cannot acknowledge him. I love my old prince Diabolus. Yes, I possess the minds of the people of Mansoul to resist Shaddai, and I would possess their minds again given the chance. Silence! Silence in the court!
This man is incorrigible. He is for maintaining his villainies through shouting.
Mr. Falsepiece to the bar. Mr. Falsepiece to the bar.
Mr. Falsepiece, you were indicted for that you did most satanically keep Mansoul in apostasy and rebellion in a security that was groundless, false, dangerous. What do you say, guilty or not guilty?
Gentlemen, I acknowledge that my name is Peace, but that my name is Falsepiece, I utterly deny. I am a peacemaker, surely you cannot indict me for that. When Mansoul had disquieting thoughts about her rebellion, I merely sought to quiet her, that's all. And when she was afraid of destruction, I merely told her it would not come. I have been grossly mistreated and accused under a false name. I'm going to sue.
Call the first witness to the bar.
Mr. Search Truth to the bar. Mr. Search Truth to the bar.
Mr. Search Truth, you know Mr. Falsepiece?
My lord, I have known this man from a child, and I can attest that his name is Falsepiece. I knew his father. His name was Mr. Flatterer, and his mother was called Miss Sootha. I grew up in his neighborhood, and I can attest that.
There were more: Alderman Atheism, Mr. Hardheart, Mr. No Truth, Mr. Pitiless, Mr. Haughty, on and on throughout the morning. Will the prisoners please rise? You have heard the verdict of guilty. I hereby sentence you to execution according to the new laws of Mansoul and of the great King Shaddai, who has... Sentenced to death, and they were duly executed according to the law. That's what an official report would have read. But it wasn't as simple as that. Knowing they must die and there was nothing to lose, the rascals took courage and resisted. The great secretary of King Shaddai himself had to come and put his hands on the hands of the executioners. And that wasn't all. The worst of the lot escaped. Yes, that rascal, Unbelief. The alarm went out and the town was searched, but he could not be found. He had skipped town and was already on his way back to enemy territory, searching for his old friend and master, Diabolus. And even as Mansoul was celebrating its victory, Unbelief was plotting mischief. To complete the government shake-up, Prince Emmanuel commissioned Captain Experience as replacement for the officers lost. He made Mr. God's Peace governor of the town. And then things began to happen. Emmanuel gave them a new charter, complete forgiveness, his holy law, New Testament. And best of all, he established a ministry among them such as they'd never had before. For he'd said, Unless you have teachers and guides, you will not be able to know and to do the will of my father. And when they heard that, the whole town came a-running to see who the teachers were, so happy they were with their new ruler and so eager to do his pleasure. I will establish among you a native of Mansoul, your old recorder, Mr. Conscience. He will teach you and guide you in domestic matters of morals and government. The other is from my father's court, my father's own Lord Chief Secretary. Oh, I want you to love him as you love me. He is the very Holy Spirit of my father. Without him, you can do nothing. Even Conscience cannot instruct you without consulting him. He is your chief teacher, your highest guide. He is your source of power. Take heed how you treat him. Do not grieve him. And when the Lord Chief Secretary stepped forth, the people of Mansoul were soberly impressed, for he was the one who had put his hands on the hands of the executioners and given them the power to kill the Diabolonians. And then the prince charged them to treat their captains well, to strengthen them, encourage them, for they were the guards against the enemy. And he cautioned them to beware of the many Diabolonians still lurking in the town, ready to spring in an unguarded moment. He had warned them to watch and pray. He had said, "Don't be too sure of yourselves. They are hiding. Lord Anger, Lord Deceit, Mr. Strife, there are many more. Apprehend them whenever you find them. Put them to death by the cross. And now I have something to set you apart." And he called his attendants, and they brought forth beautiful robes, glistening white. "These are my livery, a badge of honor, by which you will be known as mine. Keep them clean. If you drag them in the dirt, you dishonor me. But if you should get them dirty, come to me quickly through the Lord Chief Secretary and tell me about it so that I may cleanse them again." Oh, this was all too much. The wonder of it. Teachers, guides, white robes. It was the beginning of a new order. Oh, these were wonderful days. Prince Emmanuel was with them every day. They could visit his castle at all hours. Feasts. Every day was a feast day. He fed them with wonderful strange food that came from his father's court. And after the feasts, he would sit at the table and explain mysteries to them. And they could see that simple things that had meant nothing to them before were really pictures of King Shaddai himself and Prince Emmanuel, his son, and about their dealings with Mansoul. And they would look on his blessed face, and they would cry, "You're the lamb, you're the sacrifice, you're the rock, you're the way." Oh, they were transported with joy, they were drowned in wonderment. And when the banquets were over, they were sent home with gifts, precious jewels, dainties, and secret gifts too. Yes, these were golden days. The influence of Mr. God's peace was in the air like a sweet perfume. The friendship of the Lord Chief Secretary gave them joy and power they'd never known before, and that lasted all that summer. "Watch and pray," the prince had told them. "There are Diabolonians still here. Do not deceive yourselves." Well, no. The last thing they wanted to do was deceive themselves. Spoil all this happiness and prosperity, but it was hard to know. Well, quite frankly, there were such inconsistencies and Mansoul was so mixed up by nature that sometimes, well, it was hard to tell who was a real enemy and who was not. Take this fellow, Mr. Colonel Security, for instance. Well, his parentage was no secret. He was the grandson of Milord Will himself, and his mother was Lady Fearnothing, Mr. Will's daughter. But his father was a Diabolonian. Back in the days when Diabolus ruled, Lady Fearnothing had married Mr. Self-Conceit, a dyed-in-the-wool Diabolonian if there ever was one. But this Mr. Colonel Security, he was a pleasant chap. He seemed to be quite harmless, very pleasant to talk to. Ah, yes, very pleasant to talk to. Spoke in glowing terms of the power and the strength of Mansoul. Flattered lavishly. "Yes, sir," he was wont to say. "You're certainly going places. Impregnable. Nothing can trip you up now. Nothing." Well, no, nothing. It seemed all right. There was nothing wrong with it that you could put your finger on. There was no harm in feeling secure. Unless you felt so secure that you no longer needed your beloved prince. Emmanuel waited for the officers to come to his castle for the feasts as they used to. They did not come. Their delight in the feasts was gone. They stopped going to the Lord High Secretary for counsel and teaching. They made their own decisions now. They no longer delighted in the prince. They delighted only in the power and the gifts he had given them. Twice he sent the Lord High Secretary to warn them that they were on dangerous ground. Both times they were having dinner at the home of Mr. Carnell's security. They were too busy. Well, they had moments of uneasiness sometimes. When Mr. Godspeace laid down his commission, for instance, that was disquieting. Mr. Conscience and Will went to the castle that time and made a half-hearted attempt to see Emmanuel. But the doors were closed and they were, well, just too busy to try again. Meanwhile, Mr. Colonel's security kept the town entertained with lavish banquets. One night, Colonel Security gave a huge banquet, invited everybody. Indeed, he led most of the powers that be around by the nose, but he was ever on the lookout for new victims. And this particular night, he'd invited Mr. Godlyfear, hoping by the influence of the jolly company to lull him into complacency. The guests arrived. The big mansion was ablaze with light. The tables were groaning under the weight of delicacies. Everyone was merry. Everyone but Mr. Godlyfear. He sat apart like a stranger. He did not eat or drink. He would not be drawn into the laughter. Mr. Colonel's security watched him with growing uneasiness, and finally he spoke. Mr. Godlyfear, are you not well? You seem to be ill. Here is a cordial of Mr. Forget-Good's making. Do have some. One sip of this and you'll get into the spirit of things. Thank you for your courteous concern for my welfare, but I do not care for your cordial. Oh, come, come, come. It will take the weight off your mind. I do have something on my mind. I would like to have a word with the chiefs of Mansoul. You, elders, chiefs, yes, and natives of Mansoul. It is strange to see you so merry when Mansoul is in such danger. Mr. Godlyfear, you really look ill. If you want to retire, we can... No, I don't want to retire. Mr. Carnell Security, how could you do what you've done to these people? Oh, Mr. Godlyfear, what on earth are you talking about? You know well enough. You've stripped man's soul of her strength, and you've broken down her gates, and you've left her wide open to the enemy. I have done nothing of the sort. Mr. Godlyfear, what is the matter with you? Why are you so timid? I'm on your side, only you're for doubting, and I'm for being confident. Confident of what? What? Confident of Mansoul. Mansoul is impregnable. Mansoul was impregnable, with a proviso. Complete dependence on Emmanuel. Mansoul's strength was not in her towers, it was in Emmanuel, and her strength is gone. But no, don't interrupt me. I will not be silent. It isn't time to flatter or be silent while you boast your strength is gone. He turned to the others. Do you question that your strength is gone? Yes, I can see the question in your faces. I'll answer your question with a question. Where is Prince Emmanuel? Well, when did you see him last? When did you sit at his table for a love feast? When have you looked for him, really looked for him? When have you talked with him? When have you seen his face? You do not answer. You cannot answer. You cannot find him. You were too busy for him, and he's gone. He's gone. He's gone, and you don't even know when he left. Oh, conscience. Will, understanding, you have been feasting with the one who has driven your lord away. He looked at them. Not one of them could meet his eyes. And then a cry went up from the rear of the hall. Burn, Mr. Connell Security! Burn his mansion! Burn him! And after that night, all Mansoul was awake. For it was true, Emmanuel had left Mansoul. And they were finding out to their sorrow that he wasn't as easy to get to now. In their first outburst of repentance, they had burned Mr. Carnell's security and his mansion with him. They had tried to get an audience with my Lord High Secretary. They had gone back to church. They had sent petitions to Shaddai by messengers, but none of them were able to get in to see the prince. What shall we do? They cried to Mr. Godlyfear. Keep on trying, he answered. You are the ones who have wronged him. You should be willing to wait for him to answer. Ah, but it was hard to wait. They had repented with enthusiasm, but after the first burst was over, they didn't have what it takes to hang on. and so they became sick and faint and weak, and even their captains and officers languished. Their garments became dirty and torn, their fighting men run down. They would have been an easy prey for enemies lurking within or invasion from without. Would have been? Already there was trouble brewing. Little by little, the Diabolonians who had never been conquered began to come out of hiding. Lord Anger, Lord Hate, Lord Deceit, that old villain, Lord Covetousness, and many others, they showed themselves on the streets, a bit timidly at first, and then came out boldly as no one seemed to do them any harm. And then they organized. They organized and they met in the cellar of Mr. Mischief, and there, while the light from the stub of a candle reflected their shadows up the sides of the walls, they composed a joint letter to their lord and master Diabolus and elected Mr. Profane to deliver it. A few days later, Mr. Profane hurried over the plains, gleefully whistling his favorite dirge in F minor. The letter was safely tucked away beneath his cloak. He was still whistling when he finally came to Hellgate Hill. He knocked at the gate for entrance. The gate was open, and the porter stuck his head out.
"Why, Mr. Profane, what brings you here? May I see his lordship at once?" "Why, yes, come in, come in. Welcome back, Mr. Profane. Right this way, just follow me right. There we are, right in here. Mr. Profane, your lordship.
Tidings, my lord, from our trusty friends in Mansoul. I have a letter here. Well, I have a letter, so. Oh, yes, here. Here it is.
Letter? Oh, pardon me, I didn't mean to scratch you when I grabbed it. What have we here? Oh, good to our great lord. Porter, call Beelzebub, Apollyon, Lucifer, all the rest of the rabble, personnel. They'll want to hear this. Here you are. Listen to this. To our great lord, the Prince Diabolus, dwelling below in the infernal cave. Oh, great father, the reason for this letter is that we are not altogether without hope that Mansoul may become yours again. And so forth, it is greatly declined. Great sickness and faintings among them. Attempt to take Mansoul again and send us word, and we shall do all in our power to deliver it into your hand. Please send us your ideas in a few words, and we are ready to follow your counselors. Oh, this is delicious. This is delicious. I've been waiting for this. Porter! Porter, have dead man's bell rung for joy, I think, best in the midst of noise. And Apollyon, take this down. Let me see. To our offspring, the Diabolonians still in Mansoul. We have just received in our desolate den your welcome letter. By all means, go ahead with your plans. You weaken them from within, and then send us word when they are ready for the kill, and we will attack from without. Which it shall be, this year, you may be the judges. The letter was written, signed, sealed, and sent back by Mr. Profane. And they called another council at the den of Mr. Mischief. How to weaken the Mansoulians? Oh, it was almost too easy. The Diabolonians clothed themselves in sheep's russet and changed their names and hired out as servants to some of the most important men in town. Lord Covetousness called himself Prudent Thrifty. Lord Anger changed his name to Good Zeal, and so on. The fifth column activity began. And then letters flew back and forth from the pit to the fifth columnists in Mansoul. Things were going along fine. Mansoulians were still sending petitions, but their hearts weren't in it. Good, splendid. The pit warlords were raising an army to march against the town. At Wyhan, picked doubters, of course, best in the business. 20,000 of them. Mansoulians were making peace with Diabolonians now. Splendid. Mingling with them, were they? Could hardly tell them apart. Ah, things were shaping up all right. Mansoul was playing right into Diabolus' hands, right into... Wait a minute. There's someone prowling along that dark street. That's strange. It's long after midnight. I wonder who Boily gets under that streetlight. Now, what's Mr. Prywell? He's no Diabolonian. He's edging along that building. He disappeared into that alley. There he goes, under that light, right up this way. He turned up Vile Hill. He darted behind that hedge. He's making for that house, slithering like a shadow under those windows. He's listening under the windows.
listening to voices inside, voices bragging, evil voices telling of the plot to weaken Mansoul from within, Diabolonians hiring out as servants under assumed names, seducing, undermining, lying, destroying. Listen, an army 20,000 strong, led by Diabolus himself, an army of hand-picked doubters already on the way. Grendel waits to hear no more. He makes a run for it across that dangerous lighted space, back to the hedge. Then back down the hill, keeping to the shadows, clear across town. The mayor! I've got to see the mayor! But have you an appointment? Blast the appointment! No, I haven't. I've got to see him. But he's barely finished his breakfast. Blast his breakfast! When he hears what I've got to tell him, he won't want any breakfast! And Prywell told the mayor what he'd overheard, and they alarmed the town. The people came together, and conscience told them the enemy within and without were plotting their ruin. It was past time for fooling themselves. It was past time for emotional repentance. It was time for the truth. They were sick and weak and faint. They were sending petitions to Emmanuel and courting Diabolonians in their lives. It was time to face up. And this is what they did. All gates were locked and guarded. No one came or went without being searched. Their patrols polished their buttons and badges and made a house-to-house search for lurking Diabolonians and rooted them out. The captains drilled their men in maneuvers and put them back on vitamins and a proper diet. Now the petitions to Shaddai began to mean something. They were as ready as they could be, but they were weak when the report came back from Prywell's intelligence. Diabolus was ready to march, and that old runagate unbelief was general of the army. Any day now the awful army of Diabolus would come marching across the plains. Doubters, 20,000 of them. The people of Mansoul trembled. They were weak, and they knew it. They were weak, but they were awake at last. And then they came, Diabolus's army. They were a terrible sight to behold. Faith doubters, resurrection doubters, salvation doubters, victory doubters, each division with its captain. Captain Rage, Captain Torment, Captain Past Hope. They surrounded the town, and the long battle began. How can I tell you of the next 2 years? They were long, dark years. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. Sin bears fruit, and Mansoul had sinned against her prince. Diabolus and his army got in through Field Gate and ravished the town. And if the officers had not retreated to the castle, they would have all been killed. Diabolus never did get into that castle. Mr. Godly Fear was keeper of that. Oh, that Mr. Godly Fear had been keeper of the whole of Mansoul. It was through Mr. Godly Fear that Mansoul finally found its way back out of that darkness. He's the one who told them that their petitions to Emmanuel would never be answered unless they were sent through the Lord High Secretary. And then they remembered. Prince Emmanuel had told them that back during the golden days. Oh, it seemed 1,000 years ago. It was a sad little delegation that visited Lord High Secretary. Understanding with a patch over one eye, Captain Experience on crutches, Mr. Conscience in a wheelchair. My Lord Secretary was kind. What petition is it that you would have me draw up for you? But you know best, they said. Tell him how we've longed for him, that we cannot live without him. And they waited. He went over to his desk. I will draw up a petition for you. I will sign it and set my seal on it. But it must be your words, your petition. Don't you see? Yes, they saw. A stream of light from the late afternoon sun came in from the skylight and spilled over the room and on the face of the High Secretary. And they saw him, too, as they had never seen him before. A priceless treasure, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And they poured out their hearts in that petition. They cried out to Emmanuel, forgive us. Our wisdom is gone and our power is gone, and we're sick and frightened, and we're not worthy to belong to thee. The petition was sealed and handed to Captain Faith. He sneaked out the castle and left the town by Mouth Gate, and their hearts went with him. When Diabolus heard about it, he stormed and raged and threatened. He stormed up to the castle gates and shouted up to my Lord Understanding, deliver me the men who petitioned against me. Deliver me Captain Faith, and I'll depart from town and stop bothering you. Give me your faith. My Lord opened an upper window. Quiet! will resist you as long as there's a stone left in man's soul and a captain left alive to throw it. And he threw a bookend to show he meant business. Diabolus ducked. Whom do you think you're fooling? Emmanuel won't forgive you. You've gone too far. Oh, yes, he will. Emmanuel has said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The mayor was just winding up for the pitch again when he heard excited cries all over the castle. It's Captain Faith. He's returned from Emmanuel's court, and he has a package. Understanding wheeled around, closed the window. All the anger had gone out of him. As he made his way to the conference room, he suddenly realized he was almost afraid to hear Faith's report. He was weak with fear and despair. He opened the door and went in. Captain did have a package. Lord Mayor thrust out his hand. What is the news from the court? He said, but in saying it, his eyes filled with tears. The news was good. Captain Faith drew forth from his package notes for conscience, for will, for understanding, and for godly fear. And as they read them, their faces changed from despair to joy. Emmanuel had not forgotten them. He had known of their repentance. He'd been watching their warfare, rejoicing in the good fight they'd put up. He had not deserted them, and they'd see the fruits of their repentance in time. Faith left them there, reading their notes over, and went in to see the Lord High Secretary. But things at enemy headquarters weren't so good. They were bad enough to warrant a council of war. The princes of the pit came together, the old PPs. All is lost, they cried. As long as godly fear is guarding the castle, we cannot take it. And as long as we can't take the castle, we can't really say we have the town. And that was true. As long as there was one captain left to fight, Emmanuel would take their part. Of course, the old PPs weren't idle. They never gave up. It was just a question of what they'd do next. Mansoul did not have to wait long to find out. A few days later, a messenger knocked at Captain Faith's door and handed him a letter. Faith tore it open, read it, thrust it into his pocket, and hurried to the lodgings of Milord's secretary. What does this mean, Milord? He wanted to know. Milord's secretary read the note and walked over to the window. It means Captain Faith of the Diabolonians have called a council and have decided to withdraw their forces from Mansoul. You mean they've given up? Don't ever make that mistake. They never give up. They've given up trying to scare you, yes. They've just decided to leave you to destroy yourselves. To get rich and busy and smug and indifferent. To lower your guards. They can wait. Time means nothing to them. Captain Faith, are you willing for a showdown? Milord, tell me what I must do. Well, this note from Emmanuel that you could not understand, it says that he will meet you in the field outside Mansoul. Faith, are you willing to take your beat-up army and meet Diabolus in the field and face the doubters once and for all and have it out with them? Captain Faith looked out the window across the town, across the plains beyond, and his eyes were wet with tears. To see his prince's face again, he saluted the High Secretary. My lord, the war has already started. Did they want to fight? Oh, did they want to fight? When Captain Faith told the officers, there wasn't one of them who wanted to miss the battle. To see their beloved prince again. To have another chance to show him that they loved him. That they meant business. The king's trumpeters, Captain Faith ordered. Climb up to the castle battlements. Blow as you've never blown before. And they did. It stopped Diabolus in his tracks. Listen. Is it... No, it isn't boot and saddle. It isn't horsing away. And it isn't charge. It's just plain joy. What do those madmen have to be joyful about? What does... Oh, I hate joy. It can mean only one thing. Prince Emmanuel is coming to their aid. We must get out of here. Out to the plains. We can fight better out there. We can... Well, all right, if we can't fight, we can run better out there. Meanwhile, Captain Faith gave his men their orders in the battle cry. They were on the offensive now, out to fight to the finish. And their battle cry was the sword of Prince Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Faith, the word of God and faith. The Diabolonians saw them coming, braced themselves for the fight. What was this? What spirit possessed these Mansoulians? They were no longer timid. They were coming on crutches and bandages and wheelchairs. Nothing could hold them back. On they were coming, crying, the word of God and faith. Diabolus wet his lips, strained his eyes to see through the dust of battle which one he was going to encounter. Hand-to-hand battle this would be. He braced himself. Will.
Will was coming toward him. He could handle Will. Wait, there was someone else. Captain Faith! And they were in a fighting mood. They leapt through the air on Diabolus with a flying tackle, and their blows were like the blows of a giant. Whap! Whoosh! Diabolus retreated behind some of his doubters and slithered away. Slings were coming 240 from the distant castle, too. The Lord High Secretary was far from idle. The battle raged on. Each time the Mansolian army was forced to retreat, it would rally and come back for more with a battle cry. And then over their battle cry came another cry. Prince Emmanuel was on his way. Through the smoke and dust, Captain Faith lifted his eyes and saw Emmanuel coming, colors flying, the feet of his men scarcely touching the ground. And then Faith gave the orders. The Mansolian army disengaged itself, retreated, leaving Diabolus in the field. And then, a giant pincer movement. Prince Emmanuel on one side, Mansolians on the other. Diabolonian doubters in the middle. Squeezed, crushed, smothered. The two armies fought their way toward each other, slashed their way, prayed their way, until they met there on the plains, the enemy doubters trampled to a pulp underneath. Diabolus, he and his warlord slipped out like eels and slithered across the plains back to the pit. And when the dust of battle settled again on the war-torn plains, there was not one doubter left alive. Ladies and gentlemen, we're situated at a vantage point here by the main gate of Mansoul, where Prince Emmanuel is expected from the plains any minute. The sun is shining now. The streets are strewn with flowers and lined with crowds all the way to the castle where the prince's triumphal march will end. It's a glorious morning after a fearful night. Oh, it's impossible to describe the happiness and... He must be drawing near the gates now. I can hear the choir singing. Wait, listen. I'll try to catch for you what they're singing. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Oh, how they sing as if they burst their throats. The first of the procession is already going past. Here come the captains. I see Captain Faith. The crowd is straining forward now. The flowers are being thrown in the air. There's Captain Love. Captain Patience. Here he comes. The prince. His chariot is of gold and silver and purple. His armor of beaten gold. His chariot is drawn by many white horses. The people are silent as he goes by. There he goes. Toward the castle, where he'll be greeted by understanding and will and conscience of all the town gentry. There'll be no speeches this time, no shouting. These people are too filled for speech. They'll bow before him and kiss the dust at his feet and wet the hem of his garment with tears. With tears. With tears. Emmanuel had come home. And so it was over. Over? Well, not quite. There was much to do. Their garments had to be washed, their health restored, one project after another, and they couldn't do them in peace either. No, Diabolus rallied more fighters, enough to give them trouble. And hardly a day went by that there wasn't a skirmish reported. There was a young man who made quite a name for himself at this time, a fellow by the name of Self-Denial. He made short work of many a Diabolonian and carried many a scar to show for it. But some of the most exciting and dangerous warfare was the behind-the-scenes activities of a great network of hand-picked secret investigators, the Mansoul Bureau of Investigation. Let's pull a case or two out of their files and get a first-hand view of this relentless warfare going on behind the scenes. Oh, yes, here, the case of the Doubting Diabolonians. It's case 868A. It all began one starless night in Mansoul down by the Irrigate. A man was sitting on a park bench. Through the shadows emerged another man. He walked past the bench, paused, came back, sat down.
Looking for someone?
Yes.
Who?
Mr. Evil questioning.
Who sent you?
Diabolus.
What's the password?
Get him to doubt.
All right, follow me.
I have three others with me, behind those trees.
Tell them to follow you. Keep a block behind.
The strange procession goes out through the fog, up the back streets, finally up to a house well back from the street, and their leader knocks.
Who's there?
Get him to doubt. Well, come in quickly. Well, three of you this trip. Who are you? Victory Doubter?
Grace Doubter.
Salvation Doubter. Good, good. Sit down, boys, after my own heart. We'll eat presently, but first...
Open up in the name of the king.
Oh, dear, I'll have to let them in. I'll take care of them. You, here, get in that closet, quickly. Yes, gentlemen?
You are all under arrest. You are Mr. Evil Questioning?
Oh, there must be some mistake. I'm not Evil Questioning. My name is Honest Inquiry.
Tell that to the judge. You can come out of that closet now. Your name is Evil Questioning. You're smuggling doubters in, and you're wanted in the name of the king.
And who might you be, my good man? Diligence of the MBI. Inspector Diligence to you. Take them away, Sergeant.
They were all tried, given the extreme penalty, and the case was closed. Here's another interesting case. Oh, here's one. The case of Mr. Clip Promise. He's wanted for embezzlement. And the case of Mr. Live By Feeling. Oh, there isn't time to go through them all. They all got the extreme penalty. Here's a peculiar case. It's called the Case of the Elusive Ghost. Fellow by the name of Carnal Sense. Been captured time and time again. Always escapes and crops up again. Never captured for keeps. Case not closed. I wonder if it ever will be. Know that in many other cases will never be closed. There will always be Diabolonians and Mansoul, smuggled in, their ways subtle, their disguises clever. Emmanuel has allowed them to stay, to keep Mansoul watchful. He told them that one day when they were gathered in the market square to hear him.
It is to keep thee watchful to try thy love. I have loved thee, Mansoul. I bought thee with my blood, and I stood by thee when thou wert unfaithful. Yes, I did. It was I who made your way dark and bitter. It was I who put Mr. Godly Fear to work. It was I who made you seek me.
And then he said a very important thing.
Nothing can hurt thee but sin. Nothing can grieve me but sin. Nothing can make thee fall before thy foes but sin. Take heed of sin, my Mansoul. Oh, my Mansoul, how I have set my heart, my love on thee. Show me thy love and hold fast until I take thee to my Father's kingdom, where there is no more sorrow, no grief, no pain, where he will wipe away all tears, and where thou shalt never be afraid again.
We hope you have enjoyed this tape. For other Listen and Grow tapes, contact your supplier or write to Listen and Grow Tapes at the address on this cassette.